Wayne asked me if he could have a few minutes tonight because he's not going to be here next Tuesday when we have our Thanksgiving service. So go ahead, Dwayne. And you're going out of town this weekend, ain't you, Stacy? You're going on vacation, so we'll be praying for you too, okay? If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And I mentioned Hannah and Gideon having the flu. Her sister Chelsea's also got the flu. Rusty's been sick, so we want to remember Rusty. And then I heard Marty say Sherry wasn't feeling good either, so they've probably passed stuff back and forth to each other. And it's just that time of year. It's just that time of year where people's going to get sick. They're going to get the cold. We hope nobody gets the flu, but people are going to get the flu. And COVID word's going to come up again and all that stuff. It's just the times that we're living in and all that. But God ain't changed one bit. And He's going to take care of each and every one of us. And we know that He will. We know that He has. And we know that He's not going to stop. So, but it is good to be out to God's house tonight. Joshua chapter 3, if you brought your Bibles. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll mention a little bit of it. I'm hoping Mike shares it Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday, next Tuesday night, or I want him to share it, but he was on his way home from Mars Hill, and it was dark outside, and hit a black bear going about 60 mile an hour, he said. It was 300 pound. Didn't even know he had hit it, and eventually kind of got his thoughts together and realized what had happened and pulled over on the side of the road, and to hear Mike could tell it a lot better than I could because he could tell all the details of how God had His protective hand over him. But he even said as much as, you know, the airbag didn't fully deploy. So, you know, he don't have a scratch on him, not even a limp. Now, I've never hit a deer or anything like that, but I couldn't imagine hitting a 300-pound bear. So God was definitely with him, and he was very thankful for that last night at the men's meet. I know KJ was too. Got to see her last night, and she was extremely thankful for that. But we need to thank God for that, but I also want you all to pray that Michael share that, because he can tell you a lot better than I can. And I want him to allow God to use him so that God can get glory out of that, all right? Tom occasionally will send me message alerts. And something happened when we went to the beach. Lene sent Tom a picture of the girls from her phone number. And somehow Tom has got confused and he thinks my wife's phone number is my phone number. So I've noticed the last month and a half, Lene has been doing mighty good preaching at home. And I've been wondering where it's coming from. And come to find out, Tom's been sending her message alerts thinking I was getting them. He was upset with me a little bit because I wasn't replying, but I wasn't even the one getting them. So Lene finally shared them with me the day before yesterday. And one of them, what were they, Tom? Do you remember? One of the titles was, "Are We Worth Killing?" So I could see Lene reading that text from Tom, then looking at me. Is he worth killing? When I get rid of the problem. So that was perfect. I must be the problem. I don't know. But I found that very funny. Me and Lene got a good kick out of that, okay? And I know we're a little low in number tonight, and that's okay. It don't bother me one bit. We may be a little bit lower in number on a Wednesday night than we usually are, but that don't have no impact on God. That don't have no impact on the Holy Spirit. So let's just have a good time tonight and get in God's Word. Joshua chapter 3. Now, I'll share this about you as you guys get to know me a little bit more too. Folks, I only have one speed. How I preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night, that's what's going to happen on Wednesday night too. I'm sure there'll come a time when I slow down and there'll be more of a teaching probably method on Wednesday. There's teaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night too. But I've tried to hold back on Wednesday nights and just teach, and that's not what God wants me to do, and it's just bad for me. I go home mad at myself, and it's usually not came out well, so I'm just going to let it fly again tonight, okay? Because that's the only speed that God lets me work at right now, okay? So we're just going to let it go. All right, Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And actually, let's start in verse 5, because verse 5 is the key verse. We may make it to verse 8 tonight. We may just make it to verse 5. I'm not sure, but we may make it to verse 8. So let's just start in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, because that is the key verse. And the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. God, we thank you for the reading of your word. God, we thank you for our church tonight. We thank you for the men's meet and the ladies' meet, God, and how productive that they are, Jesus. And God, I thank you for Dan and Susie, for their marriage, God. And God, I thank you for giving them a good trip and a safe time, God. And we pray, God, that you lead them home safely. God, I thank you for bringing Jimmy and Angie back home safely. I pray that you be with Stacy and Dwayne as they leave on their vacation and their trips, God. And all those in our church tonight that are sick, God, we know it's that time of year where sickness is just going to go around, God. So I pray, God, that you will just bless and be with each and every one of those families. God, most of all, I pray that you be with the lost tonight, God, that us as Christians, that we will be the light that they need to see, God, and that conviction will knock on their heart's door, God, so they will accept a Savior before it's too late. God, I thank you for your word tonight, God, and I pray, Lord, that you will just touch me spiritually, physically, and mentally, God. Just help me, God, to be able to preach your word to your people tonight, whether it be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 10 minutes, God. Just let all of it be you speaking through me. And just put me on the sideline, put me on the bleachers, God, and may your work be done. All these things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. The thought that God laid on my heart and mind in verse 5 is that last section of verse 5, and I'm going to reread that. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to see God do wonders amongst my life. I think we all love to see God do wonders amongst our life. When Lene was in college, and this was before that we were married, she was diagnosed, she may have been a senior in high school, I can't quite remember, but she was diagnosed with thyroid cancer at a very young age. And it was something, you know, me being her boyfriend and her mom and dad and family, you know, that's not the news that we wanted to hear, that she had thyroid cancer. But God worked a great wonder there that we all had front row seats to, tickets to. The doctors took her thyroid out, and she's been cancer-free for years now. That's a wonder that God worked in her life that we all got to see. I'll share a story with you. It's about Addie. When we found out that Lene was pregnant with Addie, you know, we were all excited, and we were also kind of like, oh goodness, because we really wasn't ready for number two that soon. But God don't make any mistakes. So we were all excited about that. Well, the first visit we went to, Addie didn't have a heartbeat. Now, I know the science behind it. A lady has to be so many weeks pregnant before a heartbeat can be picked up on one of those machines and all that stuff. And this was in the very early stages. So we were told to come back 2 weeks later, and they were going to do another exam on Lene and see if Addie had a heartbeat. So, you know, and Lene was telling me where she works in labor and deliveries. You know, she's saying, Nick, it's probably just where, you know, we just went a little early to the doctor, okay? These 2 weeks, I'm sure I'm not doubting it or anything like that. But Lene was very specific to say, you know, just because the science may say you can't pick up a heartbeat this early stage of pregnancy, we're still going to pray and talk to God about it. So we did. For those 2 weeks, we prayed and talked to God. Well, then we went back those 2 weeks later, and there was Addie's little heartbeat. Now you can say, well, science says they shouldn't have picked up a heartbeat yet as early as we went, and that may be the case. I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor. I don't know anything about that. But as far as I'm concerned, God worked a wonder in our life. We went, Addie didn't have a heartbeat, 2 weeks later we did. And I'm not going to give science the credit for it, I'm going to give God the credit for it. That's the way I look at it. So God wants to work wonders in each and every one of our lives. He wants to. But have we done what we need to do in order for God to work those wonders in our life? You see, God just don't show up on the scene and work a miracle in our life. And God just doesn't show up on the scene and work a wonder in our life. We've got to do some stuff too before God will do that. And we're going to see that right here in God's holy word. If you read Joshua chapter 2, the children of Israel and Joshua, the walls of Jericho have come tumbling down. And now they're in the city of Shittim, and they're getting ready to go into Canaan. But before they can go into the land of Canaan, they have to cross the river of Jordan. And in order for all of the Israelites to cross the river of Jordan, God is going to have to do something miraculous. They cannot cross the river of Jordan at this time of the season, because if you read later on in chapter 3, besides where we're at, it's harvest season. And harvest season means that it's been raining and the river is raging. The river is full. It's just not a little stream with standstill water or anything like that. But at this moment in time in the season, the Jordan River is flowing full force. So the children of Israel are not just going to be able to pull their pants legs up and walk across the Jordan River, because if they were to try to do that, the river would send them on down yonder. And they wouldn't be going in to the land of Canaan or anything like that. So God was going to have to do something wondrous in order for the Israelites to make it into Canaan. Now let's put into perspective here, Moses is dead. Moses had led them. Moses had been their leader from the very moment that he was in Egypt. He was handpicked by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he was handpicked by God to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness and things like that. And Moses is dead, and now God has gave Joshua the reins. So Joshua is now in command of the children of Israel. So no doubt Joshua was a little timid, even though he saw what God did with the walls of Jericho coming down. Joshua still knew at this. He's still young at this. And no doubt the children of Israel, they're probably still, they saw what God did with the walls of Jericho and how they came tumbling down and how Rahab and their family made it out safe and how God had done that wondrous work there. But yet Joshua was still young in his leadership of the children of Israel. So no doubt the Israelites were a little timid as well. And you might say, well, how could they be so timid if they saw what God did to the walls of Jericho? Well, can I say this tonight? Don't we do the same thing? We see the miraculous wonders that God does. We see the miracle that God does in our lives or our family's life or a friend's life or maybe somebody we don't even know. We may see a miraculous miracle in their life that can only be explained through and by the power of God. Yes, something comes up in our life and what happens? We start doubting a little bit, don't we? Just like the children of Israel. Just like Joshua. We all do that. The devil loves a doubting Christian. The devil loves a Christian that loses confidence in God and anything like that. And I want to say this tonight. I've been alive for 34 years. God has yet to do anything in my life that's made me lose confidence in Him. Now, I know there's people here tonight that's older than 34 years old. I'm not calling you old. I did that last Sunday and I felt guilty for it. Everybody in here is young, all right? But I think every single one of us, 100% of us, could raise our hand tonight and say, hey, you know what? God has never done anything in my life where I've lost confidence in Him. Now, that doesn't mean He says yes all the time. But listen, if God says no and we lose confidence in God, that's a me problem. That's not a God problem. That's a me problem. You know, sometimes God doesn't say yes all the time. If God said yes all the time, you know what would happen? I'd be spoiled. I'd be asking for everything. I'd be asking for $1 million. I'd be asking for a mansion. I'd be asking to be principal of a school. I'd be asking to pastor a mega church or something like that, because that's what happens when pride and ego gets in the way. When you say yes and yes and yes to everything, that pride gets stroked and that ego gets stroked and you just want more and you just want more and you just want more. But I'm thankful tonight, praise God, that we serve a miraculous God that knows exactly what we need and will keep us humble enough to still give us the blessings of life, still give us more than we deserve, but also keep us humble enough to let us know and to help us realize that came from a wonderful, miraculous God, and I'm going to stay humble in the blessings that He gives me, and I'm going to praise Him for what He's done. So let's get into this. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim. So they're leaving Shittim and came to Jordan. So they're at Jordan. They see the Jordan River. As soon as they see it, man, God's going to have to do something. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. So when they get to the river of Jordan, we find right here they lodged there. They set up camp. They didn't try to cross the river of Jordan as soon as they saw it. They set up camp. They were going to be patient in what God was going to do. And I wrote this down in my Bible as I was studying this today at work. Folks, and I say this to me, I'm the worst. Let's not jump into a situation before we're ready. How often, how many times have I just jumped in the middle of a situation that I had no business being in, and then I get in the middle of that situation and then all hell breaks loose in my life? That's the only way to put it tonight. Examine your life tonight. How many times have you jumped in the middle of a situation, you didn't take the time to think, you didn't take the time to pray, you didn't take the time to seek good godly counsel, you didn't take the time to read God's holy word, to seek what God has to say about the situation in the Bible? You just jumped right into the middle of the situation without doing any of that. That don't work out good, folks. That don't work out good at all. That'd be like this. I am terrible at baseball. I am scared of baseball. Anybody that would stand in a batter box with a 102 mile an hour fastball coming at them, they are a certified nut in my book. I am never going to do that. Never am I going to do that. Well, that's, folks, we do the same thing. When we go into a situation that we ain't prayed about, we just jump into it. We've not sought God's advice. We've not sought prayerful advice from God. We've not let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us. We just jump right into the middle of a situation. In reality, what we're doing is we're stepping in front of, not in the batter's box, but we're stepping right in front of a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, and we don't have the reflexes to get out of the way. I don't. You may. I don't. They stopped. They didn't jump right into the river. They didn't start swimming right over the river. Because you see, if they, as soon as they saw the Jordan River, if they would have tried through their own efforts, through their own work, through their own deeds, through their own self-righteousness, through their own self-goodness, if they would have tried to cross the Jordan River within themselves, they would have drowned and died. They wouldn't have made it. You might be drowning tonight because you jumped into a situation that you wasn't ready for and you're just taking on water. But are you not glad that even when we jump into a situation that we may not be ready for, when we cry out help to God, He reaches His mighty hand down and picks us up out of the flooded waters and sets us on the shoreline. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for it. Verse 2. And it came to pass after 3 days, so 3 days, they lodged for 3 days, that the officers went through the host. So the officers of Israel, Joshua's officers, go through the camp there. Okay? Now what do they do? Verse 3. And they commanded the people. In other words, told. A command is told. This is what you're going to do. Okay? Last time I checked, God gives commandments. He doesn't give suggestions. There's a lot of Christians, so-called Christians, that like to treat God's word as a suggestion. There's preachers in the day and a time that we live in today that will preach God's word as if it is a suggestion. We live in this, you know, this modern day society, and I'm so thankful Ellie and Addie's growing up in an old-fashioned church. And again, we call it old-fashioned, but to me it's not old-fashioned. It's just the word of God. To me, there ain't nothing old-fashioned about it. It's just what it always should have been. Okay? But I'm so glad that they come to a church where, you know, in Sunday school, they're not being suggested. They're being commanded what God says. You know, when we come to Sunday school, Tom's not suggesting to us what God says. He's telling us what God says. When Dan preaches, he's not throwing out a suggestion. He's telling us directly what the Word of God says. And when the Word of God says it, folks, it is a command. God ain't giving us no suggestions to follow. Bless God. He didn't say, well, I suggest that you accept my Son Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you'll make it to heaven. No, that's not what He said. He said, you must. And I'm putting it in Stony Creek vernacular. I'm not using the King James Version vernacular. But He said the only way that you can make it to heaven is if you accept my Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's not a suggestion. That is a command. No room for debate. So these officers go through the Israelite camp there, through the host. And they're commanding the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, they're giving them instructions right here. When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, that was the priest tribe, the Levites, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So these officers here are telling the Israelite people in the camp there, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant go before you, then you can follow it. You can get up, you can leave your tent, you can leave all that stuff. Just get up and follow the Ark of the Covenant. So in other words, they're making a commandment here. They're saying, listen, folks, don't try to cross the Jordan River until you see the priest going before you carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Now we'll get to why that's so significant first. But first of all, I want to brag on these officers right here. They're showing good leadership. They're telling everybody in the Israelite camp here, hey, if you want to make it, these are the commandments that you've got to follow. And then I got to thinking about our church and how blessed we are with good leadership. Now, I'm not talking about myself, and I'm not talking about Dan, And I'm not talking about Tom, and I'm not talking about anybody in here when I say that this church is blessed with good leadership. I'm not talking about one man, and I'm not talking about one woman in this church. What I'm talking about is the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that we all can agree tonight, Nick Kaulbach's going to be wrong sometimes. Dan Foster's going to be wrong sometimes. People in this church are going to be wrong sometimes. You know why? We're human and we ain't perfect. And sometimes we don't have the best ideas. And sometimes we don't have the best suggestions. But I tell you right now, bless God, God always has a good idea. God always has a good commandment. God has never failed in His leadership. Jesus has never failed in His leadership. The Holy Spirit, bless God, has never failed in its leadership. And that's why this church has good leadership, because that's who the leader is. Hallelujah. Churches that have failed leadership, God don't fail. That means God's not the leader of that church. God don't fail. The Holy Spirit don't fail. Jesus don't fail. If you're failing in your life tonight, it ain't God's fault. It's yours. It's yours. I can stand up here and say I failed a lot. God ain't failed me, but I failed Him. All right. I'm enjoying this tonight. You know, people, you know, they on Wednesday night, I'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I've worked 3 days this week, I'm going to stay home. And listen, I'm not judging people, anything like that. That doesn't mean that they're lost. But I tell you right now, I love Wednesday night as much as I love Sunday morning. I love Wednesday night as much as I love Sunday night. To me, there's no levels of, well, Sunday night's the most important service. I'd have to put, or Sunday morning's the most important service. Then Sunday night is the second most important service. Then Wednesday night prayer meeting, if I had to put it in the level of importance, I would put it at the bottom of the list. That ain't how it works, folks. Man, it's all important, ain't it? It's all equally important. Equally. I love it. Man, this feels good tonight. I'm going to go home in a good mood. I might preach this to the students tomorrow. They'll be walking by my room thinking, my gosh, what's going on in there? I'll invite them in. All right. Verse 4. And we'll get to the Ark of the Covenant and the priest here in a second. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. So when the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they're going into the Jordan River, they're being commanded right here, you're not going to follow the priest closely, and you're not going to follow the Ark of the Covenant closely. There is going to be 2,000 cubits by measure between you all and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, anybody smart in here know what 2,000 cubits is? By measure, anybody? Do what, Lynn? About 3,000 feet. So there you go. If that gives you an idea, about 3,000 feet. Okay? He's better at math than I am. Come not near unto it. In other words, don't get close to the Ark of the Covenant. Let it be way out ahead of you, that you may know the way by which ye must go. In other words, if everybody would have crowded around the Ark of the Covenant, When the priests were carrying out into the Jordan River, if everybody would have been crowded around it, if you were in the back of the line, you wouldn't see what's going on. You wouldn't have access to see what God was getting ready to do. That He was getting ready to hold the waters back on the Jordan River. If you were in the very back of the line, you wouldn't be able to see any of that that's going on, because the Ark of the Covenant and the priests would have been surrounded. People would have been up close to it, and you wouldn't have got to witness any of it, because you would have been in the very back of the line. And then I got to thinking, I've taken kids on field trips before, and the kids, and it always works out this way, and I hate it. Now, I always stand up for the little guy. But when you go somewhere on a field trip and everybody's trying to get to the front so that they can get the best view of what somebody's showing them on the field trip, the biggest and the tallest kids always fight their way to the front first, because they're bigger and the stronger. And then the little kids that can't see over the bigger kids, they're always stuck in the back. And they can't see what's going on. So what I did when I taught first grade, I just picked them first graders up and I threw them over them big kids so that they could see what was going on, so that they would get to witness what we came to see on this field trip. Well, can I tell you tonight, bless God, God wants everybody to see what He's doing.
God don't want everybody to be everything so crowded where we can't see the miraculous works of God or anything like that. But in this miracle, this miraculous wonder that's getting ready to happen, God wants all of the children of Israel to see, yeah, Moses is dead. Yeah, you've got a new leader by the name of Joshua. But hallelujah, the same God that was with Moses that led you out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea and led you through the wilderness and sent you manna from on high, bless God, and gave you water from the rock. The same God that did all of that while you were in the wilderness, bless God, that's the same God that's going to be with Joshua and you all. He wanted everybody to see that. And if everybody would have been crowded around the Ark of the Covenant and the priest, everybody wouldn't have got to see it. Verse 4, the end, it says, "For you have not passed this way here before." Y'all hadn't done this before. This is something y'all hadn't done before. Are you not glad that we serve a God when situations come up in our life that we've never encountered before? It may matter to us, but it don't matter to Him, because He can take care of it. He can do whatever He wants. Verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, so they've had a rule. I told you, God just don't show up and do miraculous works for us to see. Things have got to be done. Well, right here, in order for the Israelites to see these miraculous works, they couldn't jump right into the situation before they was ready. They had to listen to the commandments from the officer, which no doubt was coming from Joshua. And where was Joshua getting it from? He was getting it from God. Okay, they had to listen to the commanders of the officers there, saying, don't go anywhere, stay where you're at. They had to listen to the part about being 2,000 cubits behind the Ark of the Covenant, 3,000 feet. If they would have been only 2,500 feet away from the Ark of the Covenant, it wouldn't have worked. That's how specific God is. God said 2,000 cubits by measure away from the Ark of the Covenant. Then you better be 2,000 cubits feet behind the Ark of the Covenant. That's what He said. Okay, so they had some guidelines. They had some stuff they had to follow. You know, there's people in the world today, they want to see the wonders of God in their life. And they want to see the wonders of God in somebody else's life. But they've not met the standards for that to happen. They've not met the commandments for that to happen. Now, I know for somebody to get saved, that's a wonder. And I know that. I understand that, folks. But I'm not talking about the lost. I'm talking about the Christian. Are we living the way God wants us to live? Are we following the commandments here? Are we not jumping into situations before we pray about them and talk to God about them and let the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide and direct us? Are we listening to the commandments that God gives us? Because I guarantee you this, and this ain't a guarantee for me. This is a guarantee from God right here. If you read the rest of the story, you're going to see what God does and the reason God did it. First of all, He's God, and second of all is they all did what God told them to do. If you want God to do a wonder in your life, do what God wants you to do. Man alive, it'll be more than you can handle, I tell you that. So we get here to verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, now Joshua's speaking to them. You got to do something else before God's going to do this wonder. You got to sanctify yourself. You got to sanctify yourself. Now what does sanctify yourself mean? Make clean, purify, holy, clean. That's what sanctify means. There's multiple ways you can take this here. But the only way we can be sanctified tonight, folks, is accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's sanctification. But I also tell you this. There's been times I've been saved and I've sinned and I've got dirty. Didn't mean I was lost, but I threw dirt all over the fresh garments that God gave me. And you know what I got to do? I got to ask for forgiveness. And do you know what happens? It all gets cleaned up. It all gets purified. It all gets sanctified. It all gets made holy again. So Joshua was telling the children of Israel right here, all right, you've done all this, but you got to do one more thing. You got to sanctify yourselves tonight. Live clean. Clean up. Make yourself holy. Purify yourselves. You got to do this before we cross the river of Jordan. So don't jump into a situation before you're ready. Listen to the commandments of God as these officers commanded the children of Israel right here. The priest, let's go ahead and go to verse 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before my people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. So here the priests go. They've waited 3 days and here go the priests. They've taken up the ark of the covenant. They're walking through the campsite there of the children of Israel. And no doubt the children of Israel, they're looking outside their tents. And I can see mom and dad and the kids coming outside their tent with excitement and with eagerness because the priests are finally taking the ark of the covenant into the Jordan River. They were anticipating the very moment that they were going to get to cross the Jordan River and eventually make it to the promised land that was Canaan. Well, bless God tonight. Are you not sitting on the edge of your seat anticipating the moment, bless God, that God sends His Son Jesus back and we cross the Jordan River and make it home? Hallelujah. Amen. Anticipating. Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before me. The Ark of the Covenant and the priest had to go before the people. What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? It represented God. It represented the power of God. It represented the promise of God that God had gave the children of Israel and things like that. That is what the Ark of the Covenant represented. God went before them so that they could cross the Jordan River. Bless God, God has gone before every single one of us tonight. God has went before every single one of us tonight. God was ahead of Mike hitting that bear. And you say, well, he still hit the bear. Yeah, but Mike ain't dead. Mike ain't in the hospital in ICU. Mike don't have a scratch on him. We don't have a grieving wife in the church tonight in KJ. Don't tell me God wasn't ahead of that situation. Oh, He was. He firmly was ahead of that situation. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel. So God's saying, Joshua, you know how they thought about Moses and how great he was? They're going to think the same thing about you, buddy. And the reason they're going to think that is because of what I'm getting ready to do. That they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You can read the rest of that and you can see exactly what happens. I'm not going to get into that tonight. We might save this for next Sunday morning or next Sunday night or a Wednesday night or something. But you'll see exactly what happened. The Bible says they all walked across on dry ground. Man alive, I'm thankful that we're all walking across on dry ground. And I'm thankful that we can see a wondrous work that God does here in stopping this Jordan River. We can see those wondrous works in our lives if we'll sanctify ourselves, listen to God's commandments, and don't jump into a situation just to jump into it. Take some time. Pray about it. Read your Bible about it. Seek godly counsel about it. Let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you. And then when you get thrusted into the situation, when you get in the middle of the river, God's going to magnify Himself. And you're going to see a wondrous work. That's all that God laid on my heart and mind tonight. Be praying for Dan and Susie as they return home. They will be back Sunday, so that will be awesome. That will be exciting. Okay, No Name But His will be here Sunday morning for the 11 o'clock worship service. And then, and I've not forgot that note, Brent. I'm going to read it here in just a second. And then Sunday night, we're not going to have church. We're still going to meet. We're not going to have church. We're going to come over here. Scott or somebody is going to put the wedding, Dan and Susie's wedding on the big screen. We're all going to watch it. That way we all can cry and hug and things like that. So we're all going to watch it. And then the best part, we're going to go over and have a reception in the fellowship hall. So that's going to be next Sunday night, okay? Everybody got that? Did I get that right, Brenda? Okay. Spaghetti dinner this Saturday. Brenda, is it from 4 to 7, is that right?
4 to 7. You can have any time between 4 and 7. If you don't want to eat over there, you can get it to go box.
Okay. Okay. All right. So spaghetti dinner Saturday, 4 to 7. If you got tickets, make sure you come. I know I'm excited about that. Speaking of that, Sunday night, I mentioned Pepperica. Well, Was it that night, Brenda? That night, Brenda sent me a picture. She was eating spaghetti,
and she had put pepper